Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There used to be a joke that went something like this. I drink Dr. Pepper because I don't think Mr. Pibb is qualified to be a soft drink. I was expecting more laughter than that. All joking aside, there are several areas in which we might seek out one who has been qualified. This year, the Olympics are taking place in Rio, Brazil. Now, leading up to the Olympics, there are competitions and things to see who will qualify to make it. And then even once they get to the Olympics, athletes have to compete and they can be qualified to go on to the next event or disqualified if they fail to do as well as someone else. They might fall out of the race. Another area in which you might want qualifications is in plumbing. If you find that you have a clogged up sink or a backed up toilet, you might be concerned with the qualifications of your plumber. How long has he or she been in business? What level of schooling did he or she complete? What do the people that they served previously think of their work? Or if you were going to have surgery, you would want to find out the qualifications of your doctor. Is your doctor one that is qualified to do that particular kind of surgery, or do you need to go to someone else who is qualified? In Wisconsin, there are even qualifications for the size of certain species of fish. Muskies and certain other species have to be a certain length or they have to be thrown back, whereas other species you can catch and keep no matter what size they are. Thankfully, the fish that my family caught were of the proper size that we were able to keep them. In this morning's epistle text, Paul wrote about another qualification, the one that we have inherited from our Lord Jesus Christ. In thinking about qualifications, we need to go no further than the opening verses of our text. Just like his other letters, Paul began with his position, a position which he did not earn, but that he had been given in his roadside encounter with Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ to Colossae. Stopping right there, we have yet another qualification. What he called the brothers at Colossae as being faithful. None of those gathered in Colossae were any more faithful than you or I. None of them had started their lives in faith. All of them had been called to faith by God's word and through the washing of holy baptism. Just as Paul had been called to apostleship by the will of God, so too had those in Colossae been called by God's will to be his people. They had been called by his will in order to do his work. All of the things that Paul had written in the following verses, for which he had written that he was giving thanks on behalf of those in Colossae, were not their actions. The Colossians were sinners made saints and sinners, just like you and me. They had heard before in the word of the truth the gospel of the hope laid up for them in heaven. And they trusted this word of redemption, the forgiveness of sins found in Christ Jesus. They trusted in that, and so they had faith. And that was what Paul was giving thanks for, not their actions. From their coming to faith in Christ, then, in the word of Christ, Paul wrote that they were bearing fruit and growing, just as was happening in the whole world at that time. You see, there were probably those who were beginning to wonder, am I doing enough? Am I bearing enough fruit? Am I doing enough good works? Am I loving my neighbor as well as I should? But as Paul assures them, the word of Christ was bearing fruit, and it was growing, even if they could not see it. And the same is true today. We may not always be able to see the effects of God's word at work in our lives. We may not always be able to see good works that we are doing. In fact, our confessions and our doctrines say that we can't. It's too often when we start thinking about the good works we are doing, then we have pride over them, which also is sin. And so it's impossible for us to know when we're actually doing good works. Nevertheless, when we hear God's word, it does produce good works. It does produce those fruits that we are supposed to be bearing in us. And we can hope and trust in that. But again, these fruits do not save. Only faith in Christ saves. We do not earn God's love, but in His love in Christ, we bear fruit and we grow. As the word of Christ was bearing fruit and growing, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he had not ceased to pray for the brothers in Colossae, asking that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul earnestly desired that those Colossians would be growing in faith, that they would be found to qualify for eternity. Most certainly they qualified in Christ Jesus' death and resurrection and in the works produced from that faith, not from their own works. Not that their own works would save them, but that their faith was dead if they weren't producing them. You see, it's kind of a double-edged thing. On the one hand, we're supposed to produce good fruits, but on the other hand, we can't see them. We don't know when we're doing them. We are called to do good works. We are called to do that, or else our faith is dead. And yet at the same time,